New Perspectives Open Pitch presents Memoirs of a Little 'Un, a 10-part collection of heartwarming stories and reminiscences of growing up in rural England during the 60s by Chrissy Payne. Part 2. Year of the Super Spud.
When did I last see a man smoking a pipe? Or indeed catch the aroma of that heavy, sweet smell so beloved of a particular generation? Were I to encounter such a pungent scent, it would transport me back to my old family garden of long ago. Most summer evenings would find Fred working his vegetable patch, and as the heat and energy of the day slips into the stillness of dusk, Fred enjoys a reward of baccy, leaning on his garden fork, admiring his labours. And so he should. The neat rows of carrots, several varieties of beans and potatoes, onions, cabbages and cauliflowers, all testament to his great horticultural knowledge and green fingers. Each row, marked by a split cane, the seed packet pushed in between to identify the crop. I can't resist his double row of peas and sneakily help myself to a handful, hoping Fred wouldn't notice, which of course he usually does. He doesn't begrudge me the sweet, tender delights that taste so much better when eaten in secret outdoors than they did when boiled in hot water and placed to the side of a dinner plate. Fred lived to garden. He had a highly productive plot of his own, an extensive vegetable patch in our large garden, and an allotment at the far end of town, each maintained to the same high standard. What Fred doesn't know about vegetables would fit on the back of a proverbial seed packet, but his unsolicited advice on the subject isn't always appreciated. No, no, you're doing it all wrong. You need to dig a double trench. Never plant carrots next to turnips. I would only ever consider planting runner beans on a Wednesday. I made the last one up, but you get the general idea. Father and Fred were great pals, although sometimes enough was enough, and Father would often devise a plan that he hoped would teach Fred a lesson. On Father's own patch, he meticulously digs up several potato plants at one end of the row, and having removed the crop, reinstates the plants in exactly the same position, so that to all intents and purposes they appear undisturbed. Uplifting two plants at the other end of the row, he painstakingly deposits the whole crop he has just dug up into the holes he had created, and then replants the two plants he has just removed on top of the hidden cache. Now it's a case of waiting for the right moment. A heavy shower the following day puts paid to the scheme temporarily, as there's no evening gardening. But on the next day, the weather is cracking, and Father hardly knows how he'll get through the day, so eager is he for the evening to arrive. Father works nonchalantly on his plot as Fred comes through the garden gate at his usual time.
Nice drop of rain yesterday, Fred. Just what we needed. Not always, Sam. Can play havoc with the crops. What we really need...
Father interrupts.
I certainly don't need any more rain for my spuds. I've never seen a crop like it.
Fred takes the bait.
Really? What variety are they? Couldn't tell you. Chap gave them to me in the pub. I just stood him a pint. Here, fetch a bucket. No, make it two.
As Father plunges his garden fork into the rich soil, the potatoes just keep coming. The sides of the galvanized bucket thuds as Father tosses in a never-ending crop.
Well, I'll be jiggered. I've never seen anything like that.
Fred shakes his head in amazement. Pass me another bucket. This one's full too. Like a compliant child, Fred, speechless, passes a third bucket to my father, and before long, that too is overflowing. Father straightens his back, quite fatigued with the effort.
I think that's the last.
Father knows that the next bit of his prank requires all his reserve.
All I can tell you is that I was advised to plant them during the night. And, well, you've seen the results. During the night, you say?
Fred starts to nod his head and thinks that this revelation calls for his pipe.
Yes, I can see that could make a difference.
Fred lights up and pulls on his pipe, resembling some old academic. He continues,
I suppose you need a full moon. Not essential, but helps,
Father replies, and busies himself with another task in order to suppress his laughter. Fred is transfixed by the three buckets of spuds, and it is a good 10 minutes before he starts working his patch. Although, for some reason, he just can't get into the swing of things.
Think I'll call it a day, Sam.
Tell me, is this chap a regular in the pub?
No, I've not seen him since, Father replies. I suspect he must be in the business. He reckons they're developing a plant that will produce spuds already chipped.
Another couple of years to go, but the missus can't wait.
I've heard it all. What will they think of next? Replies Fred, now in a state of utter bewilderment.
Probably a special oven that can cook potatoes in 3 minutes, Father replies, and both men laugh.
Now, you're in the realms of fantasy, Sam.
Fred picks up his fork and thought he'd treat himself to a pint at the White Lion. Perhaps he'd bump into the mystery potato man. The end.
Year of the Super Spud by Chrissy Payne was performed by Juanita McMahon, with sound design by Adam P. McCready, supported using public funding from Arts Council England. It's produced by New Perspectives Theatre Company's Open Pitch, a unique community programme that showcases extraordinary stories from across the East Midlands.